Welcome to an Englishman in the Balkans podcast. I'm David.
I'm Tamara.
And this podcast is where we bring you stories of life, culture, and adventure in Bosnia and Herzegovina.
From the unique perspective of exploring this beautiful corner of the world.
Whether you're here for travel tips, cultural insights, or simply to share in the stories of everyday life, we're glad you've joined us. Let's dive in. Hello, I'm David. And today I'm sharing something a little different, a reflective episode recorded nearly 10 years ago. This podcast has been around for quite some time, and over the years I've had the privilege of working on some truly meaningful projects, including media training in the South Caucasus, which you'll hear about in this episode.
Hello and welcome to this week's An Englishman in the Balkans podcast. We didn't do one last weekend because I was travelling to where I am now, which is in Tbilisi, the capital of Georgia, in the South Caucasus region. Tamara's not here either. She's back doing more important things in Bosnia and Herzegovina, but she'll be joining us next week. Why have I been in Tbilisi over the last, just a little over a week? Well, I've been here to help train some teams of people, not only from Georgia, but Armenia as well, and a small team of people from Abkhazia in how to use online radio to maximum effect to support various projects they're involved in. And some of those projects could be civil society, some could be about women's rights. In fact, one radio station here in Tbilisi is introducing the Georgian audience to local reggae music. Can you believe that? Georgian reggae music. Well, I've put together a short podcast from interviews that I've done with people who are actually involved in implementing these radio stations. You're going to find out a little bit about the emotion of the region, why using online radio can really help projects, and why the project was designed in the first place, plus a little bit more as well. So this week's An Englishman in the Balkans podcast is actually not from the Balkans, it's from the South Caucasus. Enjoy. An Englishman in the Balkans Radio, finding out about the Radio Without Borders project from the people who are making it happen.
I'm stunned that we had so many people, we got so many people on board with the project. There was so much uncertainty when we started. We didn't know if people will be not uninterested or excited or whatever, and we now have fantastic people around. They're sticking around. They're not just showing up and leaving, but they keep going, and they're running their radios. They're excited. They're creative. So it is. It really is stunning.
You've got the responsibility within Source Fabric to find new projects, to find new business, and to make sure it's funded. In a world of dwindling resources, you must have one of the most miserable jobs in the world.
No, I wouldn't say that. It's a challenge. You obviously, donors, the institutions who have the money and who are interested in funding projects, they're always after new things. So it inspires you to always think forward and to always come up with new ideas and to always stay on your toes, not get comfortable and not forget about innovating and evolving. It's true, the competition is huge. It's not easy. Sometimes the conditions for non-profit projects are not great, the funding conditions. There are many challenges, but it's not impossible. And there are opportunities out there. There is money out there to be used to be spent for interesting stuff. So it's a good challenge. It's a positive challenge.
You were smiling when you were saying about all the people coming here from Georgia and Armenia, and you seem to be really, really buoyant. But it hasn't all been smiles for you this last year and a half, has it?
No, it hasn't. First of all, we wanted to work in other places, not only Georgia and Armenia. We wanted to work in Azerbaijan, but the situation in Azerbaijan for independent media and for civil society has gotten so tough that it is very hard to find people who would want to get involved, or actually to put it more precisely, it is. It would be very unwise to get people involved knowing that they could easily get into harm's way by operating independent information channel. So right now we're finding other ways to support Azeri activists with opportunities to run their own radio. It's not easy, and it's mainly all the hardship is mainly with the people in Azerbaijan, and for us it's just very difficult to reach them and to involve them in the project, which we very much would like to do.
Source Fabric is all about open source, and it's all about the journalist community, especially in transitional areas. This is always a dodgy question to ask. If you had one dream now that you would like to complete with Source Fabric's help in the areas that you work, what would it be?
One dream to complete. I'd like Source Fabric to seed open source media tools on every continent. That's what I'd like to achieve, to have on every continent a good, solid, durable base of open source knowledge with special attention to media. That's my dream.
An Englishman in the Balkans Radio, finding out about the Radio Without Borders project from the people who are making it happen.
Well, aphasia is the common pain for the whole country, but it's more painful for me in particular because I'm from aphasia myself. So actually, the first time when I heard that this project was also supposed to be implemented in Abkhazia, I was surprised, and I was afraid at the same time, because it meant that we had to find partners and participants in Abkhazia. And I mean, it seems almost impossible when you don't have communication with the community out there. So we found a team of two guys who are trustworthy, who are enthusiastic, who are educated, and who are motivated to do something new for their community. So finally, this small bridge was built between our project and with the team in Abkhazia on the other side. And there are many, many obstacles on the way in implementing project in Abkhazia. And one of the components was that, you know, Abkhazians cannot travel in Georgia, and we Georgians cannot go to Abkhazia. And when there was a need of conducting training for them, we decided to take them to Istanbul. It was like the common ground and safe ground for all of us. So our two participants traveled from Abkhazia, and our trainer David to Istanbul. We got together there, and to be honest, I was so intense before I met those two guys because I didn't know what their reaction and what my reaction would be, because in general eyes, you know, we are supposed to be enemies for each other. But I don't know, from the very first minute when I shook hands with them, of course, all of us were tense. But then as the training proceeded and we got to communicate with each other during lunch and during training hours, you know, it was all gone. I mean, I was sitting there with my friends, and I remember saying goodbye to each other at the airport. It was the heartbreaking moment when we had to say goodbye. One of the Abkhazian guys, he put his hand on his heart, saying that when I said it was my pleasure to meet them, he put his hand on his heart saying that, you know, same here. And we gave a big hug to each other, and we just, you know, became good friends. And now, since then, we have direct communication with each other now, which is a good sign. And I was, in the bottom of my heart, I was proud that, you know, This was a tiny bridge on my behalf built between Georgia and Abkhazia. And speaking of this bridge, I do believe that the solution to this conflict in Abkhazia is not from top to bottom, but it's bottom-up approach, meaning that, you know, first we should try to build similar bridges between people and try to restore communication between people, because, you know, people are always the sacrifice of wars and conflicts.
An Englishman in the Balkans Radio, finding out about the Radio Without Borders project from the people who are making it happen.
Online radio can be, for my particular project, be a very powerful tool in order to target people who drive the big jeeps in Tbilisi. Mobile device, if you offer Georgian drivers good music, good content, good programs, is something, you know, that they're very attached to in a way, because one of the cool things about, you know, having a big car is just driving around with music. It doesn't necessarily have to be FM radio, because people listen to online radio in their cars as well in Georgia. So I think one of the things, how you can sort of little by little give them tips, give them ideas, a different understanding of how public space should be used in Tbilisi, could be through an online radio, especially for drivers who spend a lot of time in their cars, especially at this point in time where the streets are very busy. Other than that, it's an innovative way of informing people about the upcoming protests, about the projects that we have, about people, about the expert opinions about the developments happening in Tbilisi. So I think it's a new tool which has never been used in this way in Georgia, or at least I don't know any organizations who use it. So anything novel has a tag of coolness to it as well. So
your Armenian neighbors actually say in their country it's the take-up of online is very slow. Young people are finding it still difficult to get their heads around listening to online audio. And although they're very positive, there's a little bit of skepticism. However, in just a neighboring country, you're saying that it's a completely different situation and taxi drivers are listening to online.
I wouldn't say that taxi drivers are listening to online, but the most dangerous, ignorant people in Tbilisi who are causing a lot of the problems in terms of pollution because they drive big cars are the people with higher incomes, with iPhones, with new technology devices, who are better keen on using new technology, such as also listening online radio, for example, through their iPhones. And for them, the music and the content that Georgian radio that most taxi drivers listen to is sort of low and not interesting. So they prefer to see something, hear something more intellectual. So I think it's we're not that far ahead of Armenia, but I think in some sense we may be a bit far ahead in terms of, you know, listening to online radio and grabbing on online resources. Also, what I wanted to mention about Armenia is Armenia has managed to solve these problems from the other way around, not the bottom-up approach, but the top-down approach, because the government has at one point decided that enough was enough, and they have made decisions. They had started giving fines to people parking on the sidewalk. So this is something which I see as we have a long way to go to get there for our decision makers to realize that it's their responsibility. But, you know, we're doing our best to do it the other way around.
Do you think online radio would have helped me the other day? I tried to cross Rustavili Avenue and I nearly died, making the most stupid decision to cross the road without using an underpass. Would something like an online radio station, if it was publicized properly, be able to stop other people doing stupidity like me?
I think it would be one of the effective and powerful tools, but I think in order to solve the problems like before they happen, or to be able to educate people and explain to them, you know, the actual danger that they're bringing to their life and somebody else, has to be a multi-platform approach, and not, of course, only online radio would not be, you know, the key to it. But you know, it has to be like a, you know, intensive commercial. You know, the more times you repeat it to people, the more platforms you use, the more images you use, the more data you use, the more expert opinions you use, the more. In Georgia, it's unfortunate, but TV still remains the main source of information. So we have to go to all of this, like, TV programs with celebrity anchors and so on and so on. But the more platforms we use, the more effect we see. We use Art in Public Spaces, which is our new, another innovative approach that we're taking, and we've been praised for it a lot. So I think online radio would be most effective for young people, and people would start listening to online radio if it had also another component of coolness in terms of, like, some kind of different music, maybe, you know, something that would bring international experience to Georgia and share the stories from other cities, other countries, other pedestrians, other cultures who have overcome these problems.
An Englishman in the Balkans Radio, finding out about the Radio Without Borders project from the people who are making it happen.
The difficulty in Armenia is that young people don't like to listen to radio anymore. The culture is almost dead. It's sad, but it's the reality. And mostly people listen to the radio while they're driving their cars. That means that you cannot force them or persuade them to listen to online radio, because they're listening to FM radio stations and very popular stations. But I think there's a group of people, hipster people, you can call them, who are interested in this type of media, like radio, discovering new music, or following discussions of different issues, and we are targeting that kind of people. I think it's about creating an image for the radio. You deliver quality content and people listen to you, and in time you develop trust. They develop trust towards you. So in the beginning you can share something and people would be very ignorant, like, They would totally ignore your posts and content, but in time, they will start understanding. They'll start to understand that you share quality content, and they'll start to listen to it and discuss it, and generally engage in conversation. I'm a web developer. I'm programming websites. It certainly helps. The daily job itself, of course, takes lots of time, and I don't have much time to dedicate to the radio station itself, but it helps technically. So I understand the basics of websites and how to embed stuff, like how to embed your online radio widget in the website. And generally, it's very easy for me to navigate in Airtime Pro dashboard. So I don't need very detailed explanations or manuals how to do that stuff. Yeah, the only negative thing is that my daily job takes a lot of time.
An Englishman in the Balkans Radio, finding out about the Radio Without Borders project from the people who are making it happen.
Well, I've had different experiences in journalism, including print, TV and radio. Worked at Voice of America's Armenian service for a number of years, for 5 years in Washington, D.C. And before that, I worked for an independent television channel in Armenia, which got shut down by the current government.
You've not had the easiest of lives, have you, being a journalist?
Not necessarily. I wouldn't say it was the hardest. Definitely not reporting on a war zone or anything. But when you are dealing with hybrid regimes, right, like we have in South Caucasus here, media freedoms or other types of human rights are violated quite easily.
Online radio, in your opinion, powerful, mediocre. What do you think it can achieve for you?
Depends on what target audiences we're talking about. Inside Armenia is one thing we have to take into account. In our case, that we have a very large diaspora. We have 3 million people living in the country and 7 million outside. And so I think there is a lot to it, because not everyone has the opportunity to follow stuff on FM. With the younger generation, certainly we have much larger and better audiences nowadays. But we're now reporting off Georgia in Armenian, and I think we have found a very specific niche that has quite an interest around the communities here inside Georgia and elsewhere, including that of Armenia and other places.
What sort of focus can you use online radio for as regards a specific niche?
What we're trying to concentrate on is a lot of heavy news and information. What we're trying to do is basically make Georgia events and Georgian developments available in Armenian for particularly a community that lives here that does not speak the language and is not well integrated into country's life. So I think it's important for this country's whole, in general, security-wise and otherwise. We're living in a region trapped in several conflicts with a lot of proxy players, big players such as Russia, Turkey, Iran, the US, Europeans, etc. So to start a generic and an inside process rather than a largely funded thing like Voice of America, BBC, the Chinese have their own now. Russians are starting developing, besides their Russia Today, they have the...
To find out more about us and where we live, why not check out our blog at anenglishmaninthebalkans.com.
With a lot of,
see you next time.
Enthusiasm that the young people have around here and moving forward, working together, are achieving things that can be much more viable, can find their audiences much better, and can probably be more trustworthy than whatever large entity with big money does.
Finally, I was speaking to one of the young Armenians who's been undergoing training today, and one of the concerns she had was young Armenians seem to be not too savvy as far as consuming audio on the web itself. What sort of obstacles do you think that's going to create for you?
It is already, and I agree with that. I think audio is, for whatever reason, is not making it very... clearly not as much as it is in the West, I think. But I think there is a lot of value to radio that is not explored in this region particularly. One of those would be the fact that the mobile phones are becoming more and more popular, and it's much easier for many to hear voice than to watch a video on a mobile device. So I think that is going to, in a way, contribute to us getting or promoting ourselves more largely in the region. But I think web TV is the one big competitor to the radio that we're playing with. People seem to be choosing image plus a voice rather than just a voice. And I think the tradition of the radio has been in many ways dying in this region. So you have to revive it and add a value and suggest that there is a lot to it that has not been explored. And I think we're trying to find it out ourselves.
An Englishman in the Balkans Radio, finding out about the Radio Without Borders project from the people who are making it happen.
Well, it's always easier to speak about the positive things of the project, since we're always trying to focus on that part of the project, the positive part. The good thing is that humble opinion, we managed to create a great team of participants from Armenia, which now realize how important it is to run independent radio channels in order to make their voice heard, especially while talking about taboos, talking about sensitive issues which are ignored by mass media in Armenia.
Give me a negative.
Oh my God, a negative, negative. That we had some dropouts from very promising projects, and especially from Nagorno-Karabakh. In my opinion, of course, future will show, the project there in Nagorno-Karabakh failed.
How do you feel when things like that happen, when you open an email or you get a telephone call or you get any communication that shows failure? How do you react to that?
Well, that happens. I mean, of course, it's a pity because you see the potential, the importance of such projects in places like Nagorno-Karabakh, you know, conflict-torn societies and places. But maybe we can find other approaches, different ways to make them,
to get them involved in these kind of projects, but the life, you know, I can't use swear words, right?
No.
Okay, that's pity. Life, it happens.
You've recently had some protests in Yerevan. I follow on Facebook, and this phrase "electric Yerevan" keeps popping up. And when it was mentioned, you have this devilish little impish smile. What do you know about electric Yerevan?
Well, pretty much everything. Since I was not from the first day, but I was always there. I was present. I was reading Twitter, following my friends who were always like staying on Bahramian Avenue, the main scene of the protest. For me, one thing which is really important and can be viewed as a positive development in Armenia is that civic society is becoming more and more engaged in politics of Armenia, in social events, which wasn't that visible before. And as a result, the result is the growing number of disobedience acts, disobedience events, again, as a response to decisions which were made by the government, you know? So now people in Armenia feel like responsible, mostly I'm talking about young ones, you know, youngsters. They feel more responsible citizens of their own independent country, you know, which is absolutely great. And also during the electric Yerevan, people realize that in order to get reliable information, they should rely on alternative news sources, you know, rather than TV and radio, which is mainly used as a tool of manipulation by governments and authorities.
When we first met, you sat at the back of the first stage training I did at Yerevan. I looked at your face and you sat in shock. Are you still in shock?
Why was I in shock?
You just looked and went, what the heck is this?
No, like absolutely. Actually, during our staff meeting, we realized how much we have managed to, how much we've done during these months from the previous training. How easy it is to move forward from this point, you know? Because many things you, I don't know, clear now. We have better understanding of this project.
Finally, what's your focus now as you go forward from this second training period?
Is to find ways to ensure the sustainability of the existing radio stations in Armenia, and also to create the networking platform or a common ground for participants both from Armenia and Georgia, because after all, this is a regional project.
An Englishman in the Balkans Radio, finding out about the Radio Without Borders project from the people who are making it happen.
I think that it's very new, it's innovation for Georgia, for our reality. Internet became more and more accessible for Georgian young people as well, and they're interesting to involve such projects. We're running a multimedia training center maybe about 6 months or a little bit earlier. And we feel that we are looking for stories which is connected human stories. Like we are going outside of the city, outside of the capital, Tbilisi, and looking for new stories from people who are living remote area, who are living borderline territory. For example, we are traveling to Nicosia, which is last point with breakaway South Ossetia and Georgian border. And we here cover, for example, a story about art school, which is here for local young people. And this story has very huge impact, very huge, interactive from our listeners. And I know that it's not easy to guess behavior of your
visitors of your audience, because they expecting from you everything, good content, to be fast, to be operative, to be diverse and creative as well. And it's really difficult to be all this component to have immediately and at the same time. And we just starting, and this, for us it's experiment, like, and we can see what will be. You know that it's really difficult, because when I became student, it was 6 years ago, and new media in Georgia was not really popular here, and it doesn't exist here 6 or 7 years ago. Because during this period, my BA and my MA, I just learning traditional media tools, how to become traditional journalism. It's like traditional to work, traditional radio stations for traditional TV stations and so on. Now we realize that online a part of our traditional media is also very, very important. And I can give you our Georgia Today example, because it's traditional newspaper, but we now starting actively use a website to promote our news, to spread information and so on. Yeah, it's really difficult, but for us, for young journalists, for young generations, it's a little bit easy to adapt all these changes. But about our presenters, old generation, yes, they have problems. Mm-hmm. They always say, how to post on Facebook, how to reply, comment, I don't know, it's make me troll and so on. Yeah, it's really difficult. And I also held trainings for young people, for school pupils across Georgia. And I realized that, and I train teachers as well, who we are like middle-aged people, and they even don't know how to create a Facebook account, how to add information, how to send information by email. And they think that, oh my gosh, how there's huge possibility, and we are like stricted in some limits. And for them, it was really exciting to explore new tools, new things. And they were so happy that...
Your online radio station, what is your philosophy behind it? What are you trying to achieve with your online radio station?
Oh, it's difficult to answer in a short sentence, because Georgia's like lots of talk. We do, you know, I'm joking that here in Georgia, Twitter is not popular, because Georgians cannot express their opinion in a short sentence, and because it makes trouble for them to use Twitter. Our philosophy is, first of all, we want to exist for a long time, and we want to make our radio unique and fill it with unique content. Like, we want to promote regions as well. We want to cover regions, because here in Georgia, everything goes on capital city, everything happens here, and nothing for regional youth, I can call them. It may be a little bit rude, but... we want to create content which will be unique, interesting for youth people. And we also want, maybe in 5 years from now, I want that our radio had a little bit, maybe at least 3,000 visitors, maybe per month.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast, where we hope you have discovered something new about Bosnia and Herzegovina.
If you've enjoyed the show, be sure to hit subscribe and share it with others who might enjoy a journey through the Balkans.
Want to help us keep the stories coming? You can support the podcast by visiting Buy Me a Coffee.
Your support helps us share even more about life, culture, and the hidden gems of this incredible region.
You will find the link in the show notes, along with extra content on our Substack, including behind-the-scenes insights and updates.
And of course, we'd love to hear from you. Send us your thoughts, questions, or ideas for future episodes.
Until next time, živjeli!